Here this evening. Thank you all for coming tonight, being part of the service. Well, we got a little bit of rain this afternoon over here, enough to get the cement wet and tease us pretty good. It was getting a lot over there in Clovis, it looked like, north of here, getting quite a bit of rain. But we got another good shot tonight, and so I hope that the Lord will send us some rain. After all this heat that we've had, we could use a little bit of rain. And God could cool us off a little bit. We're going to be in Psalm chapter 7. Psalm chapter number 7. And as you know, the last few weeks, other than the time when Brother Lutrick was here, the last few weeks we've been in the book of Psalms. We've been going through one chapter a week and looking at these things that David has wrote. And God uses ordinary men to pen the scriptures. And he uses everyday events in people's lives. And they're recorded down here in the Bible. And it's not a lot of highfalutin language. I don't know if I'm saying this right or not, but it's a lot of religious language within the Bible. It's just people with problems, men with problems, and they wrote about their problems and what God did through those problems, and they recorded, and they are a part of Scripture now. And they can relate to us because we are ordinary, everyday people. We are not supernatural beings. We're not anything different than what these people were right here. I realize that they live in a different culture, but still they're human beings. And all the things that they go through, we're going to go through as well. And so all the temptations that they went through, well, we're probably going to go through those things as well because we're all sinners. And so we have those things recorded for us, and Psalms is no different. David wrote the book of Psalms, and many times he was going through problems and trials in his life, and he wrote about those things, and God was with him, and he was able to go to the Lord. This chapter here deals with a man who had slandered David, told a bunch of lies about him that weren't true. And so that's what we're going to look at this evening. We're going to look at what we do if someone was to slander you, talk bad about you, gossip about you, and it's not true. You may have already experienced some of that in your own life. People can be very vindictive, and they can say things that are not true. And so what should a Christian's response be to someone who comes and slanders their reputation? And we're going to start off in verse number 1, but we'll look at, I don't know if you have this heading there at the beginning of the chapter, but David, it says, a Shigon of David. And nobody really knows what that word means. It could mean meditation. It's only mentioned one other time in Scripture, but it says, a Shigon of David, which he sang unto the Lord concerning the words of Cush the Benjamite. So Cush the Benjamite said some words about David that were not true. And David is going to go to the Lord about this situation in his life. And we can apply these things to ourselves as well. Let's start in verse number 1. O Lord my God, in thee do I put my trust. Save me from all them that persecute me and deliver me, lest he tear my soul like a lion, rending it in pieces, while there is none to deliver. O Lord my God, if I have done this, if there be iniquity in my hands, if I have rewarded evil unto him that was at peace with me, yea, I have delivered him that was without cause, is mine enemy. Let the enemy persecute my soul and take it. Yea, let him tread down my life upon the earth and lay mine honor in the dust, Selah. Arise, O Lord, in thine anger, lift up thyself because of the rage of mine enemies, and awake for me to the judgment that thou hast commanded. So shall the congregation of the people compass thee about. For their sakes, therefore, return thou on high. The Lord shall judge the people. Judge me, O Lord, according to my righteousness and according to mine integrity that is in me. Now, when David is talking there in verse number 8, he's not making a declaration of sinlessness, but of innocence. He's saying he is innocent of the charges that are being brought against him by this man named Cush. Verse 9 says, "Oh, let the wickedness of the wicked come to an end, but establish the just, for the righteous God trieth the hearts and reins. My defense is of God, which saveth the upright in heart. God judgeth the righteous, God is angry with the wicked every day. If he turn not, he will whet his sword, he will bend his bow and make it ready. He hath also prepared for him the instruments of death. He ordaineth his arrows against the persecutors. Behold, he travaileth with iniquity, and hath conceived mischief, and brought forth falsehood. He made a pit, and digged it, and is fallen into the ditch with which he made. His mischief shall return upon his own head, and his violent dealing shall come down upon his own pate." That's the top of his head. "I will praise the Lord according to his righteousness, and will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for all that you have blessed us with. We thank you, God, for your word. We thank you for bringing us here this evening. We pray for us tonight. We pray for each and every heart that's here tonight. We pray that, Lord, we would be open and ready to receive your word. We would forget about the things that have gone on today that could distract us, and you would help us to keep our eyes and our minds and our hearts focused on what you have said. We pray that you change us and mold us and make us into what you want us to be. We ask these things in Jesus' name, amen. So David is dealing here with someone who has tried to slander his reputation, someone who has said something bad about him and is trying to destroy him. And I'd like for you just for a moment to put yourself in David's shoes. What if you were in David's shoes? What if someone had come up against you, an enemy or someone that you know, and they purposely tried to defame your name? They purposely tried to bring accusations against you. They said, "Man, this guy or this woman, they're not a hard worker. He doesn't pay his bills. He's lazy. He doesn't get to work on time. He's not paying his bills on time. And boy, he's just a sorry character. I don't know about you, but I do not like that guy. I mean, he just doesn't do what's right. I mean, he says he's going to do one thing, but he does something else. And he's just not a good guy." And you know those things aren't true. I mean, you pay your bills on time. You're a hard worker. You come into work on time. You do all of these things, and you know that they're not true. What are you going to do about that? I mean, I know what I would want to do. I'd want to go find the guy and punch him in the nose and say, "Hey, guy, what's up? Why are you doing that to me? Why are you saying these things? I mean, that's not right. I mean, there's an injustice that's being done there when you say these kinds of things." Well, that's the exact same thing that is being done with David here. Someone is trying to ruin his reputation. The main reason that people try to do these things is because they out of hatred or jealousy most of the time. Now, you got to remember who David is. David is the king of Israel. David is a successful king. He is a man of power. He's got everything that he could want or need, and I'm sure he's got a lot of enemies. Well, let me say something to you here this evening. Usually when things start going good in your life and things start going right, usually people start to envy you. You're going to start getting some enemies out there. And there's more of a chance of somebody coming up against you and bringing some kind of slander or some kind of gossip against you. And that's what's going on with David here this evening. They're jealous of your success or your life or something like that, but the results could be disastrous. I mean, you could ruin a relationship doing something like that. You could ruin someone's self-confidence by bringing up a gossip or a slander against them. I mean, you could really damage somebody by doing that. But David is going to go forward here, and he's not going to let it get him down. He's going to go to God. So David has been falsely accused. His reputation has been slandered by an enemy, but David goes to God, declaring his innocence and asking God for protection and to search his heart and to rise up as a just judge. And then in the end, David is praising God for what he's going to do. David's faith and his trust is in God. It's not in himself. He doesn't take matters into his own hands and do all of those things. But his trust is in God. So what do you do, or do I do, whenever someone comes against us and wants to slander us? Like I said, the natural thing is to go out and try to take matters into your own hands and give them a good old punch in the nose or something like that. But hey, that's not the Christian way. You don't find Jesus Christ telling his disciples to go out and do those things in the New Testament. We're not supposed to try to take revenge. And so what do we do when someone slanders us? Well, the first thing that David did was he cried out to God for safety. He didn't take matters into his own hands. He cried out to God for safety. You find that in verses 1 and 2. And then he calls out upon God as judge from verses 6 to 11. And we'll look at these here in just a moment. And then from verses 12 to 14, he considers the end of those who are making these accusations. And then in the end, he praises God for what he will do. Now, if I were you, and someone has made an accusation against me, or you, and you'd need to make sure that you're not guilty of those things first before you go to God. I mean, that'd be a very dangerous thing for you to go to God and say, "Hey, Lord, look, this guy's making accusations against me, but yet the whole time they're true." You know, that wouldn't be a good thing there. You need to make sure that you're innocent. That's what I'm trying to say here. But the first thing that he does is he cries out to God for safety. Did you know that's David's first move all the time? Now, this is Psalms chapter number 7. And if you've been here the whole time, I want you to notice the first things that David says every time he speaks. Now, not Psalm chapter number 1, but look at chapter number 3. What's his first words there? "Lord, how are they increased that trouble me?" Well, he goes to God first. He goes to the Lord first. Verse 4, or chapter 4, excuse me. "Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness." Chapter 4. Amen. Chapter 5, "Give ear to my words, O Lord." Yeah. Chapter 6, "O Lord, rebuke me not." Chapter 7, "O Lord, my God." Chapter 8, "O Lord, our God." Chapter 9, "I will praise thee, O Lord." Chapter 10, "Why standest thou afar off, O Lord?" Chapter 11, "In the Lord will I put my trust." Chapter 12, "Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth." Chapter 13, chapter 14, you just keep going on and on and on and on. And what does David do? He goes to God first. Amen. He cries out to God first. Yeah. He said, "God is my help. God is my protector. God will help me." Yeah. That's his first call. Amen. What does that tell me about David? Man, that tells me David loves God. That tells me that David's faith is genuine. That tells me when David says, "Hey, I love God and I believe that He will protect me and do all these things for me," that's genuine. He's speaking from the heart. He's not a hypocrite. Amen. It's very genuine. David has seen God win the victory in the past. And he says, "Man, I'm going back again. I want to see God do something again." You ever do that in your life? Have you had a prayer answered? And you say, "Man, I'm going back again because the Lord was good that time too." Amen. Now, God is good all the time, but that tells me God, David had seen something there. David had experienced the goodness and the grace of God. And he said, "Man, I want some more. And I'm going to talk to God again." Amen. His first move was to go to God. He said, "God, help me. I got a problem here." I mean, most of the time, if it was us, we probably wouldn't do that. I mean, somebody's been talking bad about me. Like I said, I'm going to the guy. But David didn't. He said, "I'm going to God first. Lord, I want you to help me. Lord, I want you to do something." So he cries out to God. And he truly believes that God is a source of safety and strength. So what is your first move when something happens to you and someone comes against you and brings slander or words that cut like a knife? Now you've heard the phrase, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me." Well, that's not quite true. Words do hurt. Words do cut like a knife. They do ruin your reputation. They do ruin a marriage. They do ruin a friendship. So words do matter. We've got to watch what we say. But David goes to God first. So where should we go in time of trouble? Hey, it ought to be the Lord first thing. D.L. Moody, the great evangelist, said, "Trust in yourself and you are doomed to disappointment. Trust in your friends and they will die and leave you. Trust in money and you will have to take it from they will and you may have taken it from you. Doesn't make any sense. Trust in reputation and some slanderous tongue may blast it, but trust in God and you are never to be confounded in time or eternity." God's never going to fail you. He's never going to leave you. That's why our faith and our trust must be in Him first. A.B. Simpson, the great Canadian preacher, said, "How often we trust each other and only doubt the Lord. We take the word of mortals and yet distrust His word. But oh, what light and glory would shine o'er all our days if we would remember that God means just what He says." We must go to God first. Hey, do you realize the exceeding great and precious promises that you have in your lap in front of you with the Bible? All the things that God has promised you. What did He say? "I will never leave you nor forsake you." He says, "Trust me." He says, "I will be your shield and your protector." And David took all of those things at his word. So when someone slanders us, what do? We go to the Lord and Judge of the universe. And I believe that He will do right. Amen. The Scriptures say, "Shall not the judge of all the earth do right?" Boy, He better, we're in trouble. Amen. We've got a God that protects us and watches over. God watches over us and He will take care of us. So the first thing that we ought to do is go to God in prayer. Ask Him to help us and strengthen us. Amen. God will take care of us and watch over us. The next thing that we see David do is that he cries out to God to rise up as judge. He says, "Guess what, God? You're the righteous judge. I want you to take care of it." That's verses 6 to 11. He says, "Arise, O Lord, in thine anger." Did you know that God gets angry sometimes? What does it say in verse number 11? God is angry with the wicked every day. It says again in Proverbs chapter number 6, "These six things doth the Lord hate, and one of those things is a lying tongue." God does not like someone who slanders another human being, and He's angry over those things. I heard someone say one time, if you have a God who doesn't get angry, the only God you have is an idol, is all that you have. God gets angry over sin. God gets displeased over sin. But yet in our nation and in our society today, I believe that in Christianity, very much we have a society that believes that God doesn't get angry. God would never get upset over sin, but God does get angry. So he goes to God and he says, "God, rise up as judge and take care of this for me." He doesn't take matters into his own hands. He doesn't say, "Man, I'll go out there and I'll get that guy, round up an army. I've got plenty of guys. We'll go out there and we'll kill this old Cush the Benjamite. We'll get him." He doesn't do that. He says, "No, I believe that the Lord will take care of this." He says in verse number 8, "The Lord shall judge the people." He says again in verse number 11, "The God judges the righteous and God is angry with the wicked every day." What do we as Christians do when someone has wronged us and they've done something against us? We don't take matters into our own hands. We don't perform vigilante justice. We don't go out and try and take care of the matters ourselves. It says in Romans chapter 12, verses 17 to 21, "Recompense to no man evil for evil." Don't go out and try and take care of it yourself. Don't take revenge on someone. "Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord.'" Who's going to repay? God will repay. He will take vengeance. He will take care of the matter. But many times that's not what happens. Many times Christians try to take the law into their own hands, don't they? They say, "Hey man, this guy, this woman has said something about me, and I'm going to get him back. I mean, I'm going on Facebook and I'm going to call this guy out and I'm going to call him every name in the book while I'm at it. And I'm going to tweet him and I'm going to do all these things. And boy, I'm going to ruin his reputation now because he's done something to me and now I'm going to take care of it and I'm going to get revenge on that guy or that girl. That's not what a Christian is supposed to do. We're not supposed to let our anger get the best of us. We're supposed to let the God take care of it for us. I'm sure that every one of us have heard of Lee Harvey Oswald. Well, you know that he is supposedly the one who killed John F. Kennedy in 1962 up there in the book depository in Dallas. Well, they arrested him, and they got him in the jail cell there at Dallas, and they took him down there to the basement of the Dallas Police Department, and all of a sudden Jack Ruby was down there with him. And Jack Ruby didn't like the fact that Lee Harvey Oswald had killed President Kennedy. And so Jack Ruby came out with a gun and he shot Lee Harvey Oswald. Killed Lee Harvey Oswald. What'd they do with Jack Ruby? They gave him a pat on the back and say, "Man, thank you for taking care of that for us, Mr. Jack Ruby. We appreciate that." No, sir. No, they took Jack Ruby, put him in handcuffs, and gave him the death sentence, is what they did. Why? Because he took the law into his own hands. Hey, man, you don't take the law into your own hands. Just because perhaps Lee Harvey Oswald was guilty, I mean, he didn't even get a fair trial, but just because he was guilty doesn't mean you get to go out and kill him. That's not your place. You're not supposed to be doing that. So he acted as judge, jury, and executioner that day by killing Lee Harvey Oswald, even though Lee Harvey Oswald was guilty. And if he would have if he's the one that killed President Kennedy, I agree. He needs to get the death penalty. He needs to die, but not by Jack Ruby. Not by Jack Ruby. You know, we do the same thing when we try to take revenge on someone. We say, "Well, I'm going to take care of this myself. I'm going to get that guy back. I'll take revenge. I'll get him back." Did you know you're usurping the place of God right there when you do that? That makes you just as guilty as the person who has slandered you when you do things like that. And I do things like that. Christians are not supposed to take vengeance on their enemies. We let God do those things. We let the courts do those things. We let the judge do those things. We don't take vengeance on our enemies. When someone slanders us, it's not our place to do those things. Instead, you know what we do? We consider the end of a person who has done those things. That's exactly what David did. He said, "Man, I'm not taking matters into my own hands. I'm not going to have vigilante justice and all those things. Instead, what I'm going to do is I'm going to consider what's going to happen to these people that have done this." That's exactly what he does here. Let's look at verses 12 to 16. He says, "If he turn not," that means he doesn't repent. The person who has done these things, the person who has slandered David, if he doesn't repent, if he doesn't turn, "he will wet his sword." That's the Lord is going to wet his sword. He's going to take care of it. "He hath bent his bow and made it ready. He hath also prepared for him instruments of death. He ordaineth his arrows against the persecutors." Who's the judge? God is the judge. God is the one who will take care of the punishment. God is the one who will take care of the judging. We don't do those kinds of things. One of these days, if they don't get death, well, of course, they'll get death sometime, but if they don't reap what they sow in this life, they'll have to stand before God one of these days, and they'll reap what they sow then. "Behold, he travaileth with iniquity, and hath conceived mischief, and brought forth falsehood." Look at verse 15. "He hath made a pit, and digged it, and fallen into the ditch which he hath made." David said, "You know what's going to happen to the guy who slandered me? Boy, he just dug his own grave right there. He just dug his own pit, and he's going to fall into it. One of these days, he's going to reap what he sowed." The Bible tells us, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." Amen. So if we go out and we live a licentious lifestyle, or we use our mouth or our words to cut down someone else or speak evil of someone else, we are digging our own grave, and we're going to reap what we sow. Boy, it's just a law that you can't get out of. I read a story the other day about a tenant farmer. That means he was leasing some land. He was out there working the land. He had a house out there, and he was just leasing it from a farmer. One day, a real estate man came out and talked to him. He said, hey, you're going to have to get off the land. The owner's going to give it to his son. He's just gotten married, and he needs a place to live, so you're going to have to leave. Man, that guy was mad. He was upset. The tenant was. He was upset because he had worked very hard, several years, working on this farm. He made it just the way he wanted it. Farm looked just like he wanted it. He'd been out there for several years, so he went back to the real estate man. He said, look, I'll give you so much. I want to renew my lease right here. Let me stay. And the man said, no, I'm sorry. The owner wants it back. You're going to have to leave. Boy, he was even more upset. So he said, I know what I'm going to do. He sat around for a few weeks. He said, man, time's coming up. I'm going to have to leave. And so I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to go out there and I'm going to sow a bunch of weeds out there in the field. I'm going to mess that field all up and sow a bunch of bad seed out there. That way when the sun comes in, he's going to have to deal with all those weeds and stuff. So the night before he had to leave, boy, he went out there in the night, moonlight shining, he's sowing a bunch of weed seed out there and throwing a bunch of trash out in the field. And he said, man, seed's going to come up, and boy, he's going to be sorry he ever kicked me off the land. Next morning he woke up and the real estate man came to his front door, knocked on the front door and said, hey, his plan, the owner's plans fell through, and you can renew your lease there on the field. Did you know what that man said? He said, oh my God, I've been a fool because of all the seed that I've sown out there. And the real estate man didn't know what he was even talking about. He said, what is he talking about? He's got a nice farm out here. Well, he won't in a few months when all that seed starts coming up. He's got to go out there and weed it all. You know, people live the same way. They go out and they sow a bunch of bad seed out in the field of their life. Boy, they sow a bunch of words out there that they shouldn't have said, and they sow a bunch of drinking and a bunch of fornicating and stuff like that out there in their life, and they think, oh, it's never going to come back on me. I will never have to deal with that because it's gone. Sorry, man, it's going to come back one of these days. It'll come back. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You're not going to get away with it. It's a law. It has to happen. So we must sow good seed into our field. And David said, hey, they're only sowing bad seed that's going to come back, and they're digging their own grave. They should consider their end. Have you considered your end this evening? Have you considered the seed that you're sowing in your life? Have you considered the words that you've been saying to people? Have you considered whether they're kind or evil? Whether they're just or unjust? Whether they're true or untrue? Because they're going to come back one of these days. Consider your end. He says in verse 16, his mischief shall return upon his own head, and violent dealing shall come down upon the top of his own pate. That's the top of his own head. The law has to come to pass. You will reap what you sow. So we don't take revenge on our enemies. God will do it for us. God will take revenge on our enemies. The last thing that we must do is we must just have confidence in God. Verse number 17 says, I will praise the Lord. Do you notice the happiness and the joy that David has in his voice when he says those words? He says, I will rejoice in the Lord according to his righteousness, and will sing praise to the name of the Most High. Did you notice that David is not carrying around a grudge? David is not walking around saying, time's coming. I'm going to get him. I'm going to get him. You just wait till I find that guy in a dark alley. Time's coming. He's not doing that, is he? He's joyful. Did you know that walking around with a grudge against somebody is only going to ruin your life? It's heavy, too. Heavy, heavy grudge. David says, I'm not going to hold a grudge against him. God will take care of it. Holding a grudge is only going to ruin your life. Ruin your life. He's not carrying around that burden against his enemy because he's already turned it over to God. I heard a quote the other day that says, holding a grudge doesn't make you strong, it makes you bitter. Forgiving doesn't make you weak, it sets you free. So if someone slanders you or says something wrong against you, I'm not saying to roll over and just let them beat you up. There's nothing wrong with confronting someone. But don't try to take revenge against someone, because that's not your place and that's not my place. It's God's place. So what do we do as Christians if someone was to do that to us? if someone was to wrong us, bring some kind of injustice in our life. We don't seek our own justice. We don't act as jury and judge and all of those things. We don't do that. Hey, we have a Savior that endured the biggest injustice in the universe.
Amen.
You're talking about God manifest in the flesh, who never committed one sin one time, and He came down here and He was spit on, and He had His beard plucked out, and they crucified Him. He had an illegal trial, and they made false accusations against Him because they couldn't find nothing wrong with Him. Now, how shameful it would be for His followers to act contrary to that. How shameful it would be. The Bible tells us that we should be forgiving to one another. As He hung on the cross, what did Jesus say? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Christian must be forgiving. That's what we're called to do as followers of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ endured all of those injustices while we were yet sinners and enemies against God. Can you imagine all the times that God has been long-suffering with you and with me? All the times that I deserved to die and not get any mercy or grace, but yet He was long-suffering towards me. That's the way that we ought to be with other people, long-suffering, gracious. Even though it's hard, I know it's hard, because that's against your human nature. Your human nature just wants to take revenge. Just go get them. Well, that's the beauty of the Bible, isn't it? It goes against your human nature. You know, if I agreed with everything the Bible says, I don't think that'd be a supernatural book. But it is. It goes against us. So we forgive others. We go to God and we seek Him in times of despair. And then we love our enemies. Well, that's tough too. The only question that we're left here with this evening is, how are you going to respond when someone slanders you? What will you do? I'd say follow Jesus Christ and be long-suffering. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You, dear God, for all that You endured with us. We thank You for being long-suffering and gracious towards us. We pray that You'd help us to follow Your Holy Spirit and do the same to others and be forgiving to them as well. Lord, we love You and pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.